December 13th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
Mike here. I'm Chip.
Nice job. We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, it's Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. That means on Thursday, Star Wars. Well, a Star Wars story comes to the theaters.
A Star Wars story comes to the theaters.
For the first time. This is the first time a non-serial piece of Star Wars is hitting movie theaters.
I'm going to disagree.
Oh, what do you think is...
Life Day.
Life Day was never in the movie theater, sir. That was never in the movie theater.
Life Day.
The holiday special was only on TV one time, and then they burned as many copies of it as they possibly could.
Let's go with the Wookiees.
At least that
Let
was canonical.
Let the Wookiee win. Let the Wookiee win.
Let the Wookiee win. Rogue One is opening on Friday. I'm going to be there. I'm so excited about the next Star Wars movie.
He hasn't slept in a week.
So excited, in fact, that on our list of things that I got to see this week, our film at 11, I watched The Force Awakens from last year again. Probably the 12th time I've seen that.
Excellent choice there. I think I've seen it 3 times.
It's a good movie. Stop saying it's not.
I had a good time seeing it last year, and then I saw it a couple other times. I think I've seen what I needed to see.
It's an action-packed... It's not a reboot. It is a sequel. It is not the same story from 1977.
And Han died.
And Han died in the end. Well,
he can come back as a ghost.
As a young... Well, no, he can't come back as a ghost, but he can come back as a younger... When the Han Solo movie comes out, that will be exciting. We got 2 years to wait for that one.
So but you're all prepared.
I'm all prepared. I'm ready. What also came out this week was Fuller House Season 2 on Netflix.
Mike here.
Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke does a guest role on Fuller House and has a catchphrase.
All right, so my kids have been watching this, and that's what I caught. I was sitting there doing some work, and Alan Thicke came in, and Alan Thicke's not on the show regularly.
Right.
He's a special guest. He didn't look like Alan Thicke. My wife had to tell me it was Alan Thicke. But that's his character, Mike here.
He starts every sentence with that phrase, Mike here. And it's silly. It's ridiculous. I enjoy this silly sitcom. I love my silly sitcoms.
My kids love this.
I love it.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, so you can binge all you want. Your kids binged a couple hours of it in a row.
Oh, yeah. I want to say there was a late start on Friday, and my daughter wanted to get through a fuller house, before heading off to school. And that was really important to her. So I'm sitting here doing a little bit of work, and she is watching Fuller House.
It's fun. I do see the fun in it. It is a 21st century sitcom. It is silly, and it is what it is. And you walk away from it not being any smarter, maybe a little dumber, but it is what it is.
My kids eat this up. They really do love it. And it is wholesome with reasonable stories and reasonable messages and all those fun things. They really have hit a thousand on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is... the best of what it is.
Excellent. The other one that came out on Netflix on Friday was The White Rabbit Project. This is the new Mythbusters. Mythbusters is no longer a show. They closed down shop, and they got the three people who were in the shop, not the two main people from Mythbusters, but the other three, Carrie, Tori, and Grant, and they have a new show also on Netflix. They dropped the whole season on there. We watched the heck out of this week.
Did you really?
Yeah, I love this.
Well, tell me about it, and I have interest in seeing this.
I was raised on PBS. I watch a lot of PBS, and this is...
You can give a lot of money to PBS.
I have given a lot of money to PBS.
This is a good time to tell you that you can go ahead and log in. And
60% of our listeners...
That's right. For only $10 a month, we'll send you a bag.
Go to our Patreon page. Patreon.com/too much scrolling. We'll send you a bag. all the things that PBS has done for me over the years, Discovery Channel is kind of the new PBS in a lot of ways. The intellectual, looking at scientific things. Mythbusters looked at so many different interesting concepts. The White Rabbit Project picked up right where they left off. Their first episode was all about superpowers and whether or not we normal mortals can get superpowers using science right now.
Well, Steve's a mutant. I don't know if you know that. Or as his mom calls him, a miracle.
Yeah, we've had...
He's a miracle.
We've had microwaves in the house for 30 years. We're all mutants in a little way.
All right, so tell me, can we? Can
yes.
we have...
Yes. The answer is yes. A lot of their exploration focused on some mechanical ways, some Batman ways to become a superhero, some things you can buy. But boy, the one segment that really caught the wife and I watching this was they made thought control happen in this episode, where they put electrodes on one bicep and then translated that signal from one person's arm to another person's arm and made that other person move in a fashion that they were not trying to do. That's amazing.
That's interesting. And I think you, as we were preparing for this, you mentioned where you could say a command, almost Harry Potter-like, just you know, abracadabra, and action happens. And that is a superpower.
That's a superpower.
And that's, I mean, whether you ask
that's magic.
Okay, Google, or you say, in fact, let me say that again so I can get all your phones to wake up.
Right.
Okay, Google, or Siri, or Alexa, or whoever it is, all of a sudden.
That incantation makes something else happen. We are in amazing times. Technology is magic. Magic is technology.
We can rebuild you better than before.
Amazing.
So for the intellectual person right now, we have this show, White Rabbit Project, and we also we talked about Grand Touring last week.
Yeah.
That's on Amazon Prime. These are two excellent for you, for that type of person.
For that type of person who grew up on PBS, who likes a little more analysis, not just a scripted drama or silly sitcom, it's out there. The information is out there for you.
What if you wanted to see your brain melt? What would you watch?
Well, you got a chance to go see The Office Christmas Party. How's your melty brain going for you?
Well, it certainly is not the intellectual journey that you've gone through.
Right. But it's not a silly sitcom either.
No, no, no. This is definitely much a kind of slapstick, fun, Saturday Night Live, Second City type of level with a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
I went, my kids were downtown Chicago at the Christendom Market. Mm-hmm. I had meetings. So I left my meeting and... before they got home, I went to the theater and watched this. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I won't say this is a great film. I would say on a scale of 1 to 100, this is probably 50, 60.
Okay.
So that certainly doesn't sound very, very good. But it is the fun thing that you expect it to be. Stupid comedy with lots of slapstick. Great cast. My goodness, every one of these people, you love them to death, and you just want them to have a good time.
And that's what it is. It's a good time. It's 2 hours of a good time. It is an Office Christmas Party. It's not going to be that classic holiday movie. It's not Elf.
Jennifer Aniston plays a mean sister.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Miller plays this fun-loving trust fund baby who runs a company, just like Dad did. It's kind of like Tommy Boy, where he's the Tommy Boy character, and Dave Spade plays, I'll say he's played by Jason Bateman.
Okay.
And so...
The straight character.
That's right.
The even-keeled sort of character.
Exactly.
I love Tommy Boy.
I'll go ahead and let me give you a criticism of this, because it is something to think about on how things are introduced to you. There's two parts to this. One, there's a Secret Santa scene that goes on, and these two characters, Jason Bateman's character and this they're not love interests, but they're the flirt interests, and Jason Bateman has gone through a divorce. Their Secret Santa is they head off to the roof, and what did they get each other? Well, they got him a marijuana cigarette.
Mm.
Okay. Well, in real world, that's not Hollywood world. I don't know if that's...
I don't think that that is normal. That might be normal in Hollywood, though.
It's not normal around my neighborhood or my family or anything like that. But anyway, they take that as normal. And there's another scene where they have this snow machine that kind of goes out there, and they accidentally pick up a big bag of cocaine, and they drop it in there, and it goes into this one character's face.
So this is an 80s office comedy.
Well, that's another thing. Who walks around with great big bags of cocaine?
People who should be in jail.
Well, I mean, what's fascinating about it is it's just taken as part of the plot that's just there.
That's just normal somehow.
And that's not normal.
That's not normal.
But there is a fun playfulness to this. Definitely an enjoyable part of it. It's not a great film, but it's a throwaway. Okay. A throwaway fun time.
A fun time? Sometimes that's all you want is a fun time. Go to the movies, experience something that you haven't experienced before, or something very similar to what you've experienced before.
What about shocking things?
That's why you saw Holiday Inn, the 1942 classic.
I certainly was not prepared for this film. I've been stressed out at work. I've had a lot going on, and I had a disc. I threw it on thinking
Irving Berlin and Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby, that will soothe you.
Yeah, I haven't seen this ever. And, you know, you read about it, and Irving Berlin wrote 12 songs for all these holidays going on. But the premise of it is there is an inn that on every holiday it's opened up and they have a show.
Right.
And Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby put together the show.
Uh-huh.
And then we get to Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and
it's shocking. Blackface song.
Well, I mean, the whole point is Bing Crosby's like, well, we're going to do this one in blackface.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What? And then he starts painting her face.
It's not normal.
And then they sing a song about Abraham.
But we have to remember little bit of context. 1942.
Everybody's in blackface. Everybody's in blackface.
It's terrible. A little bit of context. Al Jolson was big.
This was in 1942.
And the idea of blackface was not as offensive as we see it from our perspective today, but it's still offensive.
And there's a joke later on about it. Well, we'll do everyone in blackface.
Oh,
and I'm going,
my gosh.
What? Every holiday? This is crazy. Anyway, I was not prepared for that. It hit me over the head like, wow.
I'm surprised we haven't talked about this.
Yeah, I that was my first time I'd watched it. I may have known about it. Okay. I've been read about it a long time ago.
That scene has been removed from most versions of this movie. You got a version that had it right square in there.
I've got the quote-unquote clean version.
Uh-huh.
And I that was pretty interesting. Anyway, that was it's a piece of history now.
It is a piece of history.
I don't think it's going to be showing on
the
a lot of
theaters. The main part of history from Holiday Inn is the song White Christmas. That song originated in this film in 1942.
It did. All I can think of is, well, right after this, VOX had a series, which when I say a series, is they're a news organization on Black Pete from Belgium and the Dutch, and about how that the area, basically Santa, or their version of Santa, has this black man who's basically a guy in blackface today.
Serves kind of like a slave to Santa's whims.
Well, if you're a bad kid, he takes you away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you can imagine, there's an issue there.
Yeah,
they're trying to rebrand this, is a good way of saying it, as the guy has soot on his face and he's not going to be in blackface anymore.
Right.
Doesn't really matter, but it was as shocking then as this story going on in Belgium today is to me today.
Right.
So anyway, time's gone by. I'm glad I watched it. I don't need to watch this again.
Yep. Things change, and the more they change, the more they stay the same, because opening this week is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
I have not heard of this film.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
There's another Star Wars film coming out?
And this is where I've had a lot of conversations the last couple of weeks. People don't know about this movie coming out.
Is this going to be Rey and Luke Skywalker?
And it's not about the Rey and Luke Skywalker story that we left off with last Christmas. This is the story of the ragtag team of rebels who steal the Death Star plans and give them to Princess Leia to bring to her father on Alderaan.
This takes place between episode 3 and episode 4 for those keeping score.
This is minutes before episode 4 because episode 4 begins with she has the plans. A lot of people died.
Princess Leia has the plans.
A lot of people died to get these plans. She puts the plans into R2-D2 and starts the whole Star Wars saga.
So what are that's how we think this movie is going to end.
I think so.
And, of course, we've got a lot of rumors going on around it. I can tell you, let's go ahead and without spoiling anything, because we're going to go all Seinfeld on this. It's a show about nothing right here. They expect this to be a great big opening, between 260 and 350. And as of the recording, this number keeps rising.
And you're saying millions of dollars worldwide in the first week.
And so that's certainly not on the level of episode 7, which started, was at $529 million?
Right.
This is on Civil War and Batman versus Superman, which both were up or over $350 million, was it?
Right.
$422 million for the Batman versus Superman movie. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a big, big film. And this is going to be one of the smaller ones for the Star Wars franchise.
It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. The world premiere happened this week. A lot of people have gotten a chance to see this movie, and the reviews so far are very positive.
They were cheering. Yeah. They were cheering as a critic. So I don't want to build this up too much because maybe they have got a little bit of advertising budget to put together with this.
Disney is good at advertising and good at taking my money. I keep telling my students, I work for Disney. I come here and I talk to you people, and then they give me money, and I give that money to Disney. Between Marvel, Star Wars, The Muppets, ESPN, and all the Disney properties, including all those great Disney movies, if they bought Doctor Who, I would only give my money to Disney.
Well, there's an opportunity. Maybe they want to own Steve.
Yeah, that's it.
But not everybody is going to go see Rogue One. If you wanted to see something else this week.
Yeah, there's a touching Christmas movie coming out called Collateral Beauty. This one stars Will Smith.
Newcomer, Will Smith.
Newcomer. He's got a story all about how his life got flipped, turned upside down. Sorry. it's got a huge cast behind Will Smith. This is a touching story, a tragedy, and he feels like he needs to communicate. He writes letters to love, time, and death.
And they come and visit him.
They show up and talk to him about his tragedy and his feelings.
You no longer exist, George.
And that's it. It's just like It's a Wonderful Life.
That's certainly how they're branding.
That is how they're branding it. Every interview show, all of these people have said it's a wonderful life for the 21st century.
So they have newcomer Will Smith. Then they have, what does he play? He plays the guy from Suicide Squad.
Right.
That's right. That was his opening, his first acting role right there. Then we have Ed Norton, Kate Winslet, Keira Knightley, and then Helen Mirren.
There you go. That's an all-star lineup right there.
I think they went low budget on this.
Oh, this is huge. This is almost as big as Star Wars. To open on the weekend with Star Wars, you have to have another heavy hitter.
Well, what's amazing about it is between a couple weeks ago and this, we've got a whole group of movies that I want to see.
It's that time of year. It is get your movie out there time of year. I go to a lot of movies over Christmas break. I know that a lot of other people do too. This is when you see your movies.
And that's not the only thing opening this week.
Right. There's lots of others. To be fair, there's lots of other movies.
That we're
not going to talk about. The one we are going to talk about is called The Bad Kids. This is a documentary. It's a limited release kind of film. It's going to be
maybe only in a market or so.
Yeah, but it'll come to a streaming service near you very quickly, I think. This is a very interesting real life story.
All right, so these are about kids who have gone through just hell on earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, challenges you can imagine. And they can't go back to high school. But anyway, there's a high school out in the Mojave Desert. There's a principal who set up this high school and basically worked with these challenged kids, you know, who are emotionally fragile, who have had things happen to them, and to get them to that next layer of life. Mm-hmm. And this is a documentary, a true documentary, about at least three of these kids. This looks fascinating. It's heartbreaking watching the trailer.
Yeah.
I think it's important in the sense that if you ever wanted to know how blessed you are or how or what someone else could experience. This is a good movie to kind of get grounded again.
Yeah.
And to be that principal, my hope is and have that mission that, you know, that you recognize there's angels in the world.
Yeah. That's called The Bad Kids. It's going to be a little harder to find, but it'll come around. We'll get to see that one too. After Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. There's this movie called Star Wars.
Which brings us to our book of the week. And guess what I read this week?
I'm going to take a guess. It was a movie. It was a book about Star Wars.
Yeah, it was a Star Wars book. I read another Star Wars book this week. This one's called Tarkin. It's written by James Luceno, who is the author that we talked about last week, who wrote the Catalyst book, which is the prequel to Rogue One. This one's all about Grand Moff Tarkin.
Tarkin.
Not Grandma Tarkin. Grand Moff Tarkin.
And so, should we get your emergency shuttle ready for you, Mr. Tarkin?
That's right.
Governor Tarkin? I think you overestimate their chances.
Yeah.
Tarkin. I don't know if he's ever run into Luke Skywalker before.
Tarkin is a very ruthless character in Star Wars from 1977.
Almost as menacing as Vader.
In a lot of ways, he is more menacing than Vader. The actor who portrayed Tarkin is Peter Cushing, who did a phenomenal job really making us scared of this character almost as much as we were supposed to be scared of this evil Darth Vader.
He blew up Alderaan.
Mm-hmm. Ruthless. Absolutely ruthless. This story goes into his backstory and explains why he is so ruthless. The Tarkin family is a family full of ruthless people, and they breed ruthlessness into their children.
Nature versus nurture, my friend. Nature versus nurture.
Throw them into the woods and make them survive. And if they survive and come back, then they become bloodthirsty, ruthless people just like the rest of the family.
Bullies to the universe.
Uh-huh. This is a great story. I really enjoyed it.
What is the piece that we should take from this to getting ready for Rogue One?
Couple of things. First of all, Tarkin is in Rogue One. I don't know anything about Rogue One, but I know that there is a digital version of Peter Cushing somewhere in Rogue One.
And he's also in Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope.
That's right. And he appears in the Rebels TV show and the Clone Wars TV show as well. He is a big part of the story. He is the scary, ruthless guy who makes big decisions. He's very high ranking. His first name is Will Huff. That's
Will Huff.
Yeah, we find that. Will Huff. Very scary name. If you ever meet somebody named Will Huff Tarkin.
That doesn't sound like a Lucas name right there, though.
It does. It does sound like a Lucas
name.
That
looks a little too skilled to be a Lucas name.
Yeah, this is a post-Lucas. This is a post-Lucas writing. There's no doubt about that. The other big thing that we need to know from this book, it's a good story. It has a little adventure in it. And we find out in a really great couple of conversations between Tarkin and Darth Vader in this book that Tarkin does not know who Darth Vader really is. He does not know that
he's
that
the chosen
is Anakin
one.
Skywalker.
We thought he was the chosen one.
Even though Tarkin did have interactions with Anakin Skywalker before he became
he
Darth Vader.
He smells like burnt bacon.
He just smells like burnt bacon now. You smell what the Rock is cooking? This is a good book. It's not a great book. I get lost in some of the dialogue about all the paperwork that Tarkin does.
Excellent. Lots of paperwork.
Lots of Senate.
Senate.
Yeah.
He was putting some bills together.
We need more conversation about the how that works. It fails me there a little bit, but it does have good insights into these characters.
They put together a bill, and they introduced it to a committee.
To build the Death Star, yeah. So I do recommend this one. For me, these stories are very much the ornaments on the Christmas tree that is Star Wars. I love Star Wars, and adding to the poor dialogue and 1970s style of it with these extra background stories really makes the 1970s movie better.
Oh, excellent.
I really look forward to the next series of movies. brings us to our appetite or app of the week. And, you know, Christmas parties are happening and people are coming over, and you have found a great way to decorate your home.
Well, you know, you've got that big black void that sits in your living room. I'm sorry, den, for, you know, that big television. Mm-hmm. And it looks black when it's turned off. And usually, I mean, could you put something on it that would make your life look nice?
Yeah, you found an app. This is the second one that we've talked about on the show. This one's called Art Legacy Live, and it's an app for your Apple TV.
Now, it comes with a few paintings, but really, you can buy 99 paintings for $2.99.
And that's, display them right there on your TV.
Yes, and they're all the paintings that you would know. These are all classic paintings that are in museums. The beauty of them, have you ever seen a motion comic?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, like a hand moves or something like that?
Just a one little element of it moves, not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is even less than that.
Okay.
So what you're doing is the painting kind of moves a little Ken Burnish. Maybe it moves across the television just a little bit.
Okay.
But also the elements of in the painting may move just a tad too.
Nice.
So it's not overly powerful. It's, you know, but what it does is it gives this painting that you've never had in your house. Most of us can't get this quality of a painting.
Right.
But it gives us an opportunity to look at them up close. Study them, especially if you have your television dialed in with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
But what it also does for you is it gives you a nice visual background. It's a way to take something that basically sucks the light out of the room and bring light into the room. I usually put this on in the morning when I'm getting up and getting the kids ready for school and stuff like that, because it's they've got a little piano music that builds up a little bit in it. But really, what you're doing is you're looking at these beautiful paintings in high definition and getting an opportunity to see them.
And you mentioned that the music is a part of this app, and they don't have a way yet for you to remove that music and add different music from another source.
All right. So many apps that are out there that are what I would say similar. So maybe it's a beach scene, or you're looking over the desert, or you're looking over a mountain range or something like that. You could put music on from Pandora. You could put it from Apple Music. You could put it on through something else. And that music would play through. This does not allow that. They've got their own music that's part of this app. You can always turn it down if you had separate Christmas music on or something like that. And by the way, this doesn't have to be played just during the holidays. It can be played anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. But that's immediately how I thought of how I would use it, is to take this television and make it beautiful, is really what I'm describing. I really think these types of apps, where you're using that big screen in a useful way, that certainly is not a ball game or something of that nature where it's distracting. It just becomes part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, you can get into the Back to the Future, where the window is not really a window. It's just the TV screen, and it's kind of flickering, and you got to punch it to make it look the way you want.
The Hunger Games had walls like that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, you were like in a forest or something like that.
Yeah, we haven't gotten into Black Mirror yet, but there's an episode of Black Mirror where all the walls are all a screen, and it becomes a problem.
Well, this one is strictly the museum paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from all different eras, and they are just gorgeous. They are beautiful. So highly recommend this app. It's $3 to have some fun.
Yeah, I need to pick up an Apple TV, the fourth generation Apple TV that has the apps in it. I think it's something that would make my system a little bit more useful.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Brings us to our Now the News. Speaking of being useful and having more apps around, the U.S. election has happened, and there's some pretty strong evidence that there was some hacking of our electoral system, and there's some pretty good evidence that it might have been coming from Russia.
Well, we want to make sure I'm very clear on this. Our intelligence agent, CIA, is one of them, says that there is a known attempt to interfere with the U.S. election, to discredit American democracy,
mm-hmm.
Or specific candidates. So what this is basically saying is that an outside party,
mm-hmm.
who may have benefit, had the ability to come in and make those changes. They didn't say this was unlikely. They said this is likely.
Mm-hmm.
They're confident that Russia was behind this. They're naming this. Mm-hmm. The point of this is to basically make the listener aware that outside sources could have influence over what you're reading, how you're getting your information. And, you know, you've got to they talk about fake news is another part of this, but outside influences could be, could impact how you're seeing the world. So just be aware of it. And this is something that will hopefully be addressed for the next election, because this, I mean, it's a serious issue.
It's a serious issue, not only for elections, but for just about everything we do. The ability for anybody to get in and do something and we don't know about it is a little scary.
Well, it's propaganda. Mm-hmm. And propaganda, we do propaganda to, you know, parts of the world. Mm-hmm. We want the American way of life, truth, justice, and the American way.
And a machine that throws cocaine on people.
No, we would like while our society certainly isn't perfect, the idea of living, of at least proclaiming liberty, mm-hmm, and freedom and allowing individuals to have self-determination is something that we would like to spread around the world. Mm-hmm. There are certainly areas that are not accepting of that, but Russia seems to be an area that has an interest in what we're doing, and also it could be... could benefit from undermining that.
Right.
So anyway, it's something that's out there. We should be aware of it.
Just like the self-driving car and the concept of Honda putting emotions into their artificial intelligence in my car.
All right. So this is a concept. This is a concept vehicle. They use artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. This artificial intelligence will be able to monitor your emotions, uh-huh, in the car.
Uh-huh.
And also be able to learn emotions.
Michael, I don't think that we should go off that cliff. Shut up, kid.
I mean, this is just a concept. This is this is thinking about your home.
Uh-huh.
Eventually could turn this way. This could help out, especially if you are susceptible to road rage, mm-hmm, or any number of things. If they could find a way to calm you down. Steve, by driving like a maniac like you do, you're only saving, you know, 2 minutes or whatever it is. Steve's one of the most cautious drivers out there.
I drive so slowly. It makes everybody angry. I am the cause of the road rage, really.
Well, especially if you drive in the left-hand lane.
I don't.
Oh, good. Well, I immediately thought of Hal from 2001.
Right? If the car decides that you shouldn't do a certain thing.
We can't do that, Michael.
We shouldn't do that.
I thought of Data with his, was it the chip they put into, yeah, him? We gave him emotions.
Yeah, he got it. His emotion chip and really didn't know what to do with it at first. Can you imagine if your car had emotional issues?
And then I thought of AI, where of course she loves me. Oh, of course, yeah, she does.
AI is a great movie. That is one that we should go back and revisit.
Little Spielberg there.
Uh-huh.
And Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
On that, and, mm-hmm, also Jude Law. Mm-hmm. And they're both versions of AI,
yeah,
who interact with humans.
And they both see dead people.
Oh,
no, that's
right.
A different movie.
Anyway, but all three of those could explain or give you an idea of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the automobile would monitor your emotions and be able to respond to you.
Google is really innovative, and one of the things they're going to work on in 2017 is they're going to run completely on renewable energy.
One of the things that Google and Apple and many other companies have is a lot of cash on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And investors, especially rogue investors, have been very, they've condemned these companies for having so much cash available, either use it or give it back to the shareholders. Mm-hmm. And then they could also say, use it for the benefit of the shareholders. Well, Google, one of the things they've done is they have invested a lot in renewable sources. That could be wind, that could be solar. And if you know servers, they use a lot of electricity.
Right.
And so one of the things they were looking to do is offset the amount of electricity they were using. Those are made from fossil fuels and things of that nature, mm-hmm, with what they would call renewable. And they have committed to 100%.
Wow.
Next year.
That's amazing. That's a great way to support what they're doing.
What, what I'll say is that governments typically do not innovate. They follow the innovations of the private parties.
Right.
And the deep pockets of Apple and many of the tech companies and stuff like that have been able to really do the research on this. We will see if they drag us to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And allow us to do that. Imagine what it could mean to society to be able to at least reduce what you use. Maybe not be 100% on everything, but maybe what your home uses for electricity. That would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
It would be fantastic. Just like if I could watch Star Wars in my home on Thursday instead of going to the movie theater. Apple is working, reportedly, on a system that would do just that. Allow me to see first-run movies almost immediately in my home.
And they're negotiating with basically these, I don't even know who they're negotiating with, but basically within 2 weeks after a movie is released at the theater, if you wanted to watch it, this is first run, not one that's on a limited release, mm-hmm. the one at the theater.
Right.
For $50.
$50.
You would be able to watch it in your home.
I would absolutely do that.
Isn't that amazing? And we talked about something similar to this earlier this summer, didn't we?
Right. Back in March, the screening room was a concept that was being brought out that was basically the same thing. $50, mm-hmm. you get to see your first run movie in your home, the convenience of your own home. At the time, you said, well, this is a separate hardware device. I don't want a separate mm-hmm. hardware device for this. If they could integrate this into the Apple TV, then I would really consider doing it.
Sure, or the Roku or the Fire mm-hmm. Stick or whatever it is.
Apple's probably the company that has the resources to mm-hmm. make those negotiations happen.
And you've got to just have a big enough market that you know you can go out there and get it. And this would be a wonderful use of, once again, your big screen television, your mm-hmm. Apple TV, your surround sound system, and all those things that people play around
because
with.
Because we have basically a home theater in virtually every home mm-hmm. with all this equipment. If we had access to the material on a legal basis, we could...
If you want to view mine, if you go to Apt, over to Apt, the store, mm-hmm. you can see a version of mine.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm teasing. They've got the dream one, the one that's like $300,000.
I used to subscribe to all the magazines where they took the photographs of all those dream home theaters because I really would love to have one of those again.
Well, Apt, the company over in Chicago, mm-hmm. ABT, they have a few models of those in their facility.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen them, you go see their kitchens, you go, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. you can dream. We all can dream.
Yeah. In my previous home, we had a home theater with two rows of seats from the local movie theater.
Really?
And a 100-inch diagonal projector, surround sound, 7.1 surround sound. We loved it, but we just don't have the facility for
we
it.
We had a 27-inch CRT television.
And we loved it.
We hooked it up to a VCR. It was incredible.
What we've got coming up is all the new things. Fitbit has acquired the software assets from Pebble. The Pebble Watch was the big Kickstarter.
It's a Kickstarter. And that was an inexpensive smartwatch, mm-hmm. yes. And so what they did is they said, we're not going to pick up the hardware.
Just
the software.
The intellectual property.
So if you are a person who does a lot of activities and wants to record those, Fitbit seems to be the company.
Yeah, it's the Xerox. It's the one that people know that brand. If I said some other brand, they'd go, what's that? But Fitbit,
Kleenex.
Kleenex. Fitbit, everybody knows. And Pebble is such a success story. There's such a great community behind all the software that Fitbit saw fit to pick it up.
Well, so they ended up buying the intellectual property and hiring the engineers.
Yes.
And so they're looking to integrate, maybe not the total Pebble service, but their intellectual capabilities.
Especially the store. The Pebble software store has done some great things.
Really? Mm-hmm. So obviously this is to take aim in recognizing that the Apple Watch is a competitor. and they want to compete on a higher level.
And that maybe there's a viable market for the smartwatch.
Maybe. It still seems to be a toy.
It's still a toy at this point, but who knows what will happen in the future. One thing that will happen is the Galaxy Note 7s are being disabled by software in the coming weeks.
So Samsung is going to send out a software update
that's going to completely disable the Note 7.
So for the people who do not remember, that was the one that was catching fire.
Yeah.
That's the one that you cannot bring on an airplane.
It is illegal to bring one on an airplane in the United States.
They have a full recall, mm-hmm. and they cancel production of them.
And the stubborn people who still have them, they will have it disabled by software.
So they're going to be, while they win a Darwin Award, maybe potentially later on this year,
they have
ignored the warning. And Verizon, it looks like, has a little the fight back on this, because these are their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And while Verizon is Samsung's customer, they don't go directly to the public. They go through a service. And the people from Verizon, the customers of that is the user. That would be us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where there is, you know, Samsung saying, we got to get these things off. Verizon is basically saying, hey, listen, shutting all these phones down could hurt our customer service.
Right.
We want these people to get these phones off the market. My response to that would be Verizon turns to Samsung and says, give us resources,
mm-hmm.
and we have to go visit them. They're going to come visit Steve at school and come take his phone from him. And they're going to bring the muscles. That's right. They're going to bring the muscle.
Sunglasses. Where's your phone?
That's right. We come with me
if you want to live.
Is Mr. Foda here? We heard you still have a Galaxy 7.
Yeah, this is quite a story. The potential...
Maybe you want to give it to us.
The potential liability...
Maybe you want this other one right here. A Google Pixel right here. So.
Yeah, I'm still digging my Google Pixel. Google Pixel is the way to go.
And by the way, if you have the Note 7, go take your Note 7 back and get the Google Pixel.
Yeah. Absolutely. I absolutely verify that is the right device for you to go buy. People ask me all the time, which phone should I buy? The Google Pixel. That is my answer. Apple TV is moving toward their single sign-on. They talked about this a few months ago, and it's an issue that you've talked about, getting logged into all those different services across all those different networks. Maybe we're moving toward that.
So if you have an Apple TV, mm-hmm. and you want to watch the History Channel, you want to watch ESPN, you want to watch ESPN, NBC, SN, or something like that, PBS, you typically go to the app. You have to go to your computer or your smartphone. You go to es.pn.com/activate. Mm-hmm. They give you a code. You do it. You do it for every app. And then every couple months or so, they log you out. You got to log back in.
Only when it's inconvenient. I love how you said that earlier.
That's right. When the one time you want to go watch the game.
You have to go through the extra hoop of signing in at that time. It's always at the least useful moment.
So under the settings area of the Apple TV, you can see where it is. Mm-hmm. You go to it. You sign into your TV provider. Mm-hmm. Now, DirecTV, Dish Television, and there are many of the cable services are going to allow the username and password to be put in. Mm-hmm. And it basically is globally going to log you in to all these things. I can tell you, I attempted to do this. I have DirecTV. In Uverse, it was not allowing me to log in.
But hopefully it will soon.
Oh, it should be in the future. But anyway, as of right now, I got to go old school. I get to complain the first world problems.
Talk about first world problems. There you go.
I have all this available and I have to log in.
Man, what a downer, man.
So if you wanted to join us tonight, what would you do?
Tonight's the night, man. You could join us in your local movie theater for Fathom Events is going to show us George Takei's Allegiance. This is a musical that we've talked about many times. Yeah. This is the Broadway musical. The tickets are a little expensive, but nothing compared to a real Broadway musical.
Beautiful HD movie, cameras on you. You're going to have great sound, and you're going to be able to watch a Broadway show from your local theater.
Yep.
And what the story is concerning the camps that were set up during World War II here in the United States. Mm-hmm. If you were a person who had Japanese heritage, you were picked up from wherever you were.
Rounded up.
And you were sent off to, say, Arkansas, where mm-hmm. George Takei spent his youth.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there until the end of World War II. And in fact, his father was so adamant that this was a violation of his rights, which he was absolutely right, that, I mean, he fought this thing the entire time he was there and refused to sign some of the documents that they were putting in front of him. This is a very important story. If you have young people, this is something that you probably should consider going to see. I cannot imagine a greater story we can tell right now about how to treat people who are not you.
It's very relevant to every time period in history, but in this particular time period, we have some questions about people who look different from us, and and the answer...
Not everybody can be big and bald like me.
That's right. The answer should not be a concentration camp.
Did I say bald? I'm like Fabio. That's I've got long flowing locks. I'm sorry.
Because you love going to Burger King.
That's right. Well, Hanukkah's here.
Hanukkah's here, everyone.
So if you were in Israel, you head over to the Burger King. What are you going to get?
They've got themselves a really interesting donut burger for Hanukkah this year in Israel.
Well, they must have visited every southern state fair in the world. Krispy Kreme.
Is it the southern part of Israel?
It's a southern Krispy Kreme. If you've gone to a state fair, you've got Krispy Kreme donuts. They throw the hamburger on it, and you can buy it because, I'm sorry, the only difference is in a state fair is that you would deep fry it on top of that.
Right, right.
But anyway, that is the special gift from Burger King to all of those. But that's not the only gift that's out there.
Yeah, those of you who are not in Israel, which is most of our listening audience.
The Gentiles.
The Gentiles here in the United States, you are in for a treat. You know, the semi-annual release of the McRib.
But maybe you don't know where you can get a McRib.
So there's a website, McRibLocator.com. You can find your delicious, salty, fatty treat.
Sugar, oil.
It's good for you. Eat your McRibs, kids.
That's right. So there you go. The holiday season is in full blown right there.
Full blown diabetes. Yes. Yes. We're ready. Good. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week and bring me one of those Burger King sandwiches.
I bring you a Burger King and a McRib. There you go. Here's your Christmas present and happy Hanukkah while we're here. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find it. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio. We're now on iHeartRadio as of a week or so ago, and Google Play Music. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com, find everything you need to know to survive another week. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
Mike here. This is Chip Essenfleck.
We'll see you in the future.